word. And we're going to read in John's Gospel and in chapter number 10. John chapter 10, reading from verse number 1. You might recognize some of the verses that are in this chapter. They're pretty well known. John chapter 10, and reading from verse number 1. The Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Further down the chapter to verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I'm sure that God will bless to us this evening these verses from his precious word. I want to speak to you about a familiar scene. Perhaps as we're up here in the region of New Cumnock, it's something that you commonly see, isn't it? Sheep out in the fields. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about here. And he often spoke about things that people were familiar with. He didn't speak about things that people wouldn't understand or couldn't identify with. And here is one of those occasions when he speaks about the sheep and the shepherd and the sheepfold. Sometimes he spoke to them about fish and about fishermen, because many of the folks were identified with the fishing business. Many of the Lord's disciples were fishermen, and he could speak about those kind of things. Sometimes he spoke about the farming community, and he spoke about the wheat and the grain and things that people would have been familiar with as far as the crops of the field were concerned. And so he often spoke about these kind of things. But here he's using an illustration in John chapter 10 about the shepherd and about the sheep. And I want to use that tonight just to bring before you some things in relation to the message of the gospel. I want to think with you first of all about the separation of the sheep. The separation of the sheep. How the sheep were separated out. And we'll see as we look at John chapter 10 that all the sheep are not the same. All the sheep are not the same. Some are different from others. And we're going to think about how those sheep were separated. And then I want to think with you about the salvation of the sheep. The salvation of the sheep. The Lord told another parable about how the sheep went astray. And the shepherd came and he went after it. And he brought it back upon his shoulders into the sheepfold. And it was saved from being out on the wild and the stormy hills. And we're going to think tonight about how the sheep can be saved. And then I want to think with you about the sacrifice for the sheep. The sacrifice for the sheep. And we're taking that from the words of the Lord Jesus. As he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What a sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for the sheep. And then finally, if we've got time at the end, we're going to think about the security of the sheep. And it's good, isn't it, to know that you're saved, but it's good to know that you're also secure. And that once you're saved, you can never, ever be lost. And that's the teaching of John chapter 10, that once saved, always saved. And it's a good thing tonight just to know that you're saved and that you're secure. So we're going to think about these things for a wee while tonight. The Lord Jesus, as he opens up chapter 10 here, he tells us that there is the sheepfold. And he thinks about the door to the sheepfold. And he's thinking here about the sheep being in the sheepfold. Now understand that out there in the east, and it may be true here in the west, as we go on, you'll probably realise that I don't know anything about sheep. I don't know anything about shepherds. I don't know anything about farming. But I've picked up one or two hints here and there. And I understand out in the east, you know, when they had the sheepfold, it was just like perhaps some of the sheepfolds that we've got here, perhaps made of stone, and then a circular shape. And it just had an opening for a door. And some of these sheepfolds, they were pretty big. They were pretty big. And into the sheepfold would go the sheep. But in that sheepfold, there would be more than one flock. Not just one flock, but perhaps two flocks or more than one flock. And of course, the shepherd would come along at times and he would have to identify his own sheep. And he would separate those sheep and he would take his own sheep out. And that's the picture that we've got before us here in John chapter 10. And as you go down through the chapter, as we did tonight, you'll notice that there are three kinds of sheep that are really spoken about in the verses. He talks, first of all, about the sheep. And in that, I think he's thinking about all the Jews that were before him. He's thinking about the nation of Israel. He's thinking about all the sheep in the sense of all the nation of Israel. But then he also speaks about his own sheep. And I think when he says that, he's thinking about his disciples. His disciples, they stood out from the nation and from others that were round about. They were his own sheep and they belonged to him. And it's a good thing when the shepherd knows his own sheep. I understand, and it's true, isn't it, here as well as it was out there in the east, that the shepherd puts his mark upon his sheep. And that's how he knows those sheep that are his. Once we were up in Shetland, and we were there at the time when they were dipping the sheep. And very often, as the sheep went through the sheep dip, they would put a particular kind of dye on the sheep, so that they knew that those sheep belonged to that particular shepherd. That's how they did it there. So the sheep are identified with the shepherd. They knew whose sheep they were. So he talks about the sheep, all of the people of Israel. He talks about his own sheep, his disciples. And he talks about other sheep, he says, I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So that there might be, he says, one fold and one shepherd. And when he says other sheep, you know, he's looking down the ages of time from his own day. And he's looking on to our own present day. And he's thinking on until the time of his coming. And down through the years, he sees those who are the other sheep that he's going to bring. And they're going to join with his disciples who were with him at that time. And they too are going to become his own sheep and brought into his own fold. I wonder, can I ask you the question tonight? Are you one of his sheep? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ in the meeting tonight? Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? That would be a wonderful thing if you tonight could identify yourself as one of his sheep. And so we're thinking about this picture tonight. But before we think about that too much, I want just to say, perhaps it's important to identify who the shepherd is. Who is the shepherd of these sheep? I suppose as we go down through chapter 10, we note that there were a lot of folks that were associated with the sheep. There's the porter and there's the hireling. But the porter and the hireling, they are not the shepherd of the sheep. And there's also those that come as thieves to steal and to destroy. But you know, there's only one shepherd of the sheep. He tells us that the hireling, he doesn't care for the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep. The sheep are not his, so he doesn't care for them. But there's only one shepherd of the sheep. And that shepherd is God's Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, John's Gospel was written, really, so that we could identify him as the shepherd of the sheep. That we would know that he is the Son of God. And that he is the true and the only shepherd of the sheep. And you know, tonight there are many who want folks to follow them in one religion or another. And want to be identified perhaps as the shepherd of sheep. But I want to say to you tonight that there is only one true and one genuine, one real shepherd of the sheep. And that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can identify him tonight. As we look at him, we know that he's the one that the scriptures point to. You'll remember way back there in John chapter 1 that they said there that they had found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. They found him. They found the one that the scriptures had pointed to. Way back from the prophets and from Moses, the scriptures were pointing to one who would come as the Son of God to be the shepherd of the sheep. And that person that is pointed out in God's word is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the day that he came, they found him to be the answer to the Old Testament prophecies and scriptures. And of course we know that John Baptist, and he might answer to the man that's spoken about in John chapter 10 as the porter, he says to him, the porter openeth. And John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went before him so that he might point out the Lord Jesus. And remember, he does that in John chapter 1. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. And John identified the Lord Jesus. John was told that the one upon whom you will see the Spirit of God descending and remaining, the same is he. And there at the river Jordan, as John was baptizing in the river, the Lord Jesus Christ came forth and was baptized of John, and as he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God came down and descended and remained upon the Lord Jesus. And John says, I bear witness that this is the Son of God. This is he. This is the one that came from God to men in order that he might become the shepherd of the sheep. And we can think through John's gospel, can't we, of all the different signs and miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did. And why did he do these signs and miracles? It was in order that men might understand that the one that stood before them was indeed the Son of God himself. And you go over to John chapter 20 at the close of John's gospel, and you'll find that it says there in verse number 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Why are they written? He says that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in through his name. I wonder tonight, have you realized that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to be the shepherd of the sheep, to be the one that you should believe in and trust in and be saved through? And we want to say again just simply tonight that there is no other shepherd. He's the only one that God has provided to be the Saviour and to be the shepherd of the sheep. And so, as we look into the opening of this chapter that we are considering tonight, we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, he says this, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And so we're trying to explain to you tonight that the Lord Jesus is the one who came in through the door. He's the one that was pointed out as the shepherd of the sheep. And God would provide him tonight to be your Saviour and mine. I wonder if you've come to realise that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wants to be your shepherd this evening. You know, we are talking about the separation of the sheep. And you'll notice that when we come to verse number 3 and verse number 4, it says there in the chapter that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is calling you tonight. He's calling you tonight. He's calling you by name. Many folks here tonight that I don't know. I don't know your name. I've maybe seen you before at some point or other, but maybe I don't know much about you at all. But the Lord Jesus knows all about you. He knows your name. He knows where you've come from tonight. He knows your home. He knows all about the circumstances of your life. And the Bible says he calls his own sheep by name. You know, it's interesting that some shepherds, I believe, actually give names to the sheep. A friend of mine, he was having lunch with a shepherd some time ago. And he said to him about this, he said, is it true that the shepherd gives names to the sheep? And he says, sometimes that's true. Those who want to get really near to their flock and their sheep, they would give names to the sheep, and the sheep know their name, and they'll come when their name is called. He said, could you show that to me? And he said, yes. So they went out, the shepherd and my friend, and they stood beside the sheep pen, and the sheep were over at the other side. And he said, well, what are the names of the sheep? And he told them a couple of names. And my friend, he called the name of the sheep, but nothing happened. And he called another name, and nothing happened. And he said, well, what's wrong? They're not answering to their name. And He said, well, you're not the shepherd. You're not the shepherd. It's the shepherd that calls his own sheep by name. And he said, oh, I see. So he went away and he hid in a barn that was very near to where they were. And he watched what would happen. And the shepherd called the name of the sheep. And the sheep came over and started to lick the hand of the shepherd. You see, he called his own sheep by name. It knew the shepherd and it came just as he had called it. And you know, the Lord Jesus is using that kind of illustration here tonight. And he's saying that he's the shepherd. And he knows your name. And he's calling you tonight as an individual. And what does he want you to do? He wants you to come to him and be saved. He wants you to become one of his sheep. I wonder if you're ready for that tonight. You know, there's a man there back in John chapter 9. And the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that he came to him and he found him. This man in John chapter 9, he was a man who was born blind. And the Lord Jesus Christ called him. The Lord Jesus Christ called him. And he gave him back his sight. He gave him his sight. And the man was able to see. And the wonderful thing about it is that he became one of the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can go on through, I don't have time to do it tonight, you can go on through John's Gospel. There's a woman in chapter 8 who was taken in the act of adultery. And the Lord says to her, go and sin no more. And there are others right down through this book of John and through the Gospels, and we'll find that the Lord called them and they came to him and they were cleansed of their sin and they were forgiven and they became his followers and they became the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of us in this meeting tonight have just heard him call our name. And we've come to him, and we too have become his sheep. I wonder if you are ready tonight just to listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus. He calls you, and he wants you to come to him. I wonder if you're going to respond to that tonight and become one of the sheep of the Lord Jesus. And so he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. You see, the Lord Jesus, he doesn't just want you to come to him. He wants to lead you. And a good shepherd will lead his sheep. I'm told that the shepherds there in the east, they don't drive the sheep forward, but they go in front of them. They walk before them, and the sheep follow them. And that's what the Lord Jesus is talking about here. You see, he's the shepherd, and he wants the sheep to follow him. I wonder who you're following in life. You know, lots of people around us, and they're following the pop stars and the sportsmen and women of today. They're following the idols of the world. But here's the Son of God, and he calls you by name tonight, and he wants to lead you out. He wants you to become one of his followers, one of his disciples, one of his sheep. And I wonder if you're prepared just to become a follower of the Lord Jesus this evening. And so we think about the separation of the sheep. He wants you, you see, to become different from other men and women and young people in New Cumnock. He wants you not to just be like the rest of the people. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to become one of his sheep. And he wants you to become a follower of him. But if that's going to be true, then you'll need to be saved. You'll need to be saved. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says tonight that I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. You see, if we could picture this fold, this sheepfold that he's talking about again, and we could think about it tonight as representing to us the salvation that God wants to give. And he wants to bring you into the fold of salvation. And he says tonight, I am the door. by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And you see, you can't be saved unless you go in through the door. You've got to go in through the door to get the safety of the fold. And the Lord Jesus Christ is making it clear in these verses that are before us that he is the door. He himself is the door. And that would have been true. You know, as we've already indicated, it might have been a circular stone fold with just an opening. Just an opening. No actual door. And just to close the door, the opening, what would have happened at night time? The shepherd would have lay down in that opening, and he himself became the door. He became the door. And that's the picture the Lord Jesus is bringing before us here. And he says, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved. I wonder if you've gone through the door. Have you gone to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? The children used to sing, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two, inside and outside. On which side are you? Dear friend, tonight you can only be in. You can only be in if you've gone through the door, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants you tonight to come to him and to go through him tonight that you might receive salvation. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No one else can be the door. No one else can save you. Only the Lord Jesus. And if you're going to be forgiven of your sins, you have to come to him tonight. He says, I am the door. There's only access to salvation through him. And in that sense, there's only access to heaven through him. If you ever want to be in heaven, you've got to come to Christ. The Lord Jesus said elsewhere in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so you've got to come to him tonight. He's the door. And it's only by going through that door that you can be saved. You'll notice that he doesn't only talk about salvation, but he talks about satisfaction. He says, they shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Find pasture. There's that which is going to satisfy them. He talks in John chapter 10 about having life, but about having life more abundant, more abundant. You see, people around us tonight, perhaps even at a weekend as they go out and try to enjoy themselves, they would say that's living, that's living. But you know, it's not really living. It's something that only lasts, even if it does last, for the weekend. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you a more abundant life tonight. Life of a different quality. Life of a different kind. He wants to give you tonight eternal life. He wants to give you something that will satisfy you. Not just for time, but for eternity. And I want to say, friend, it's many a long year now since I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a young teenage boy. But you know, I can say this, that he has satisfied the longings of my heart. And he'll do the same for you tonight if you'll only come to him and trust in him. He not only saves, but he satisfies. And we can say in the words of the hymn writer tonight that there's none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. I wonder tonight, my friend, if you want to be saved, I wonder tonight if you want to find satisfaction. Well, if you do, you've got to go through the door. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But I want you to notice that for you to be saved, and for you to become one of his sheep, that necessitated the death of the shepherd, the death of the shepherd. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He giveth his life for the sheep. You know, the hireling doesn't give his life, because when the wolf comes, the hireling runs. He flees, John chapter 10 tells us, because the hireling doesn't care for the sheep. But the shepherd, he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. That's how much the sheep mean to him. And I want you to be really aware tonight that God loves you, and that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much that he was willing to come down from heaven's glory into this world and to go to the cross at Calvary in order that he might lay down his life for you and for me. You know, sometimes we think about the crucifixion of Christ, and we think about what men did to him. We think of how they drove those nails through his hands and his feet and put that crown of thorns on his brow. And we think about the treatment that men dealt out to the Son of God. But I want you to be aware tonight that he knew all that was going to happen to him. He knew all things that were coming upon him. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 10 that they didn't take his life from him. It wasn't that they killed him on the cross. He says, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. And that's what happened on the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus, he bowed his head and he dismissed his spirit. He voluntarily gave up his life on the cross. It wasn't men that took it from him. He gave it up as an offering to God, as a sacrifice. He gave his life. He laid down his life, John 10 says. He laid down his life. Why? He laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for you and for me and my friend in the meeting tonight. How the Saviour loved you. He laid down his life in order that you might be saved. Oh, that we would appreciate that tonight. The love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on the cruel tree that I, a ransomed soul, might be. Says the hymn writer, it's more than tongue can tell. And so he laid down his life for the sheep. What a sacrifice. And so tonight, in order for you to be saved and to become one of his sheep, the Lord Jesus had to die on the cross at Calvary. He had to bear your sin and mine. He had to shed his precious blood for you and I to become his sheep. But you know, the wonder of John chapter 10 again is this, that we don't only get salvation and satisfaction when we get saved, when we trust in the shepherd. We get security. We get security. Now, we're living in days of insecurity, when folks are wondering what's happening to their investment and their money and what's going to happen just down the road. And everybody's just concerned, aren't they? In the days in which we live, there doesn't seem to be any security, really, in the world in which we live. But you can know security for your precious soul tonight. There's nothing more precious and more important that you and I possess this evening than our precious soul, our precious soul. And the Lord Jesus is willing to give you security for your soul tonight. Oh, it would be terrible if you should lose your soul. You know, you could lose many things in life that really wouldn't make one bit of a difference, but to lose your soul and to go down into hell and the lake of fire eternally would be an awful thing, an awful thing. But God wants to save you tonight. God wants to give you satisfaction in the life that Christ can give. And God wants to give you security. He wants your soul to be safe and secure for all eternity. And that's why we read at the end of John chapter 10 there, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he indicates there down in verse number 27 and 28, that he gives unto his sheep eternal life, he says, and they shall never perish. Never, in any wise, under any circumstances, will they perish. You know, once you have eternal life, no one can take that life from you. Once you have eternal life, once you are saved, you're saved forever. And the Lord Jesus gives us a double security there. He says, you're in the hand of the Father, and nobody can pluck you out of my Father's hand. And he says, you're also in my hand. And as we often say, salvation is not dependent upon my grasp of Christ. It's depending upon his grasp of me. And he holds us in his hand tonight. And the Father holds us in his hand tonight. And we have that double security to know that when we're saved, we are saved forever. And dear friend tonight, you can know that if you'll only come this evening and trust in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I wonder if you can say the words of that psalm tonight, Psalm 23, as you leave the meeting. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I trust that God will bless his word tonight, shall we pray? Father, again, we just bow before thee and we commit the issues of this meeting to thee. We pray that it might have impressed some heart the love that the Lord Jesus had to go to Calvary and lay down his life for us. We pray that if there's any in our gathering tonight who still don't know the Saviour, that they will come to him and accept him this evening. We seek thy blessing as we part now, and we give thanks in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.